Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Welcome to our service. Brother David Green is going to come in just a minute after our choir sings. Listen to the choir as they present this song.
Take your right hand, put it right up here beside your head, just like this. Right hand, some of you. Are you serious? Are you? All right, put your hands down. Let's try this again. You know, I never taught kindergarten, but this is just about as close as I'll ever come. Right hand, all right. Everybody move your right hand to the right, to the left, to the right, to the left. Everybody say, hey, buddy. Nailed it. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church. If the person next to you put up the wrong hand, coach him up during the rest of the service today, all right? We are so glad to be worshiping with you in the house of the Lord today. If you are visiting with us, we want a record of that. There's a little yellow card in the pew in front of you. Make sure you fill that out in just a minute. Drop it in the offering plate. You tell us how to minister to you. If you want us praying for you this week, we'll pray. You want us visiting you, we will visit. Calling you, we will call. You want information about our church, we are there for you. So make sure you fill that out and drop it in the offering plate. I'm excited about morning worship. I'm excited about what's going to happen right after morning worship. If you don't have lunch plans, or if you do have lunch plans, plan to change them right now. We are having a hot dog lunch for our mission trip over in the all-purpose building right after the morning worship. Hot dog, chips, something, I think cookies or whatever for dessert. So to answer your question, yes, there will be mustard and ketchup and sauce and onions and all that good stuff. So stop in there. If you can't come and you want to make a donation, contribution, make sure you see Susie or me, and we'll allow you to do that. In fact, we'll encourage you to do that. But be praying for our mission trip. We're just a few weeks away. It's in July, and we're going to New York City, if you haven't heard, third time in the last 3 years. Very excited to see the doors that God has opened for us in Queens, New York. Very excited about that, so be praying. But the day gets even gooder. Just making sure you were listening, all right? Come here, Miss Angie. All right, we are ready for VBS kickoff tonight. First of all, yeah, get up here. How about this girl, first of all? I'm telling you what, if you don't know what she's doing behind the scenes, all right, yeah, give her a hand. I totally embarrassed you, didn't I? Yeah, really. The only complaint I have against Miss Angie, when we were kind of sitting around talking about what's going to be our theme for VBS this year, she came up with Fun Run, which overruled chocolate. Because I voted for chocolate, and she voted for Fun Run, so the children's director won out. But we are so excited about tonight. If you are not able to volunteer this week, we really want to ask you to pray, all right? Because I'm telling you, as much fun as we're going to have this year, there is nothing, nothing more exciting than watching a child give their heart to Jesus Christ. And I know, I believe with all my heart, the amount of effort and time and energy that has been put into this VBS, I know God is going to do great, great things this week. So listen, it's not too late to volunteer if you want to be a part of the good things we've got going on in VBS this week. Plan to do that. If you can't, make sure you're praying for us, okay? Now, Angie, wait a minute, all right? I do have one request, and then I'm done with the welcome. This welcome is, I'm cutting into the sermon time now, right, Brother Paul? All right? Angie, make the saddest face you can possibly make. Let's see it. Nailed it. Totally nailed it. She is short one male chaperone for you for kids camp coming up. When are you leaving? Leaving this Saturday, returning on Wednesday, and they are going to Campbellsville. See how I had all the details worked out before? Leaving this Saturday, coming back Wednesday from Campbellsville, but we are short one male chaperone. So, guys, if you can help, she could really use your help. I mean, look how pitiful. Nailed it, Angie. All right, give Angie one more round of applause. Make sure you see her after the service if you are willing. Men, if one of you is willing to take that on, make sure you see her after the service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the excitement that is going on in Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church. We give you all the glory for the ministries you have given us. And God, we never take lightly when you give us the opportunity to serve our community by being obedient to you. It is a privilege to serve you, God, not a burden. It's a privilege to get to serve you, and we take it as that. And God, right now, I pray that you are softening the hearts of those little boys and girls that are going to be in these pews and in these classrooms and out in this parking lot this week. Soften their hearts, Lord. Soften the hearts of their parents. Get their parents here to our church, Lord. Whatever it takes, use us to minister to our community this week. And for all things, may you be glorified today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, today we have three graduates we want to recognize. First of all, and if you're here, please come forward and get a Bible, but Dustin Seibel. Is Dustin here? Graduated from high school this year. Also, Austin Ritchie. Austin graduated from Boyd County High School. One of our church family. And Emily Stevens. Emily, come and Emily got her master's degree from Morehead State University. We certainly want to encourage them as they go forward. You know, it's a big step. We had our daycare has a preschool, three-year-olds, and I got to take part in that graduation. And I told one of the parents, it's just one of many. Coming up, we have kindergarten graduation, grade school graduations, high school, colleges. We just praise God that we can honor these graduates this morning with a Bible with their name on it. Well, let's stand and fellowship with everyone around you this morning. Oh, hymns leading us to worship God. There's within my heart a melody. Let's sing together.
In my heart there is a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there is a melody of love.
Please be seated. Several people on our prayer list to continue to pray for Mary Lou Brummett. Mary Lou was in the hospital this past week having some very difficult times, so pray for Mary Lou. Also pray for the family of Charles Bush. His funeral was this past week, and we want to continue to lift that family up in prayer. And pray for our Vacation Bible School. You know, it is a time of outreach. We have a special time presenting the gospel to those children. And Bible school is not for our kids. It's a time of outreach that we want to reach out to our community and bring those kids in from all over the community. So you as church members have the opportunity to reach out to neighbors and friends who are not in church, invite their children to come to our Bible school this week. We'll be starting at 6 o'clock every evening. So invite them to come, and if you can, load up a carload of them and bring them with you. We do have an adult Bible school this week. I just want to make that an announcement for our adults. They'll be meeting every night. Tonight we'll meet here in the auditorium after the opening ceremonies for the Bible school. But then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, our adults will meet in the middle building. And we have special teachers every night, different ones, and they're going to be teaching the book of James. So adults, come and be a part of our adult vacation Bible school. Brother Mike Williams is going to come and lead us in our prayer this morning.
Before I pray, I just want to thank everyone for the expressions of grace and love and kindness that you've shown our family since we've come back. It's just overwhelming, and I'm just so thankful. Miss Angie, the auditorium looks fantastic. It looks fantastic. The one other thing I want to say, and I want to pray, this congregation of people is such a blessing, and these people that are here, if anyone's here for the first Sunday, I want to assure you this is a place you need to be. These folks are filled with grace and mercy and kindness, and I attribute much of it with Brother Stewart, who in my eyes is maybe the greatest man ever born in the city of Ashland. It was... I love you, Brother Stewart, with all my heart. Thank you for what you put into my life and what you've meant to me personally. Let's pray. Our Father, we just give your name praise for mercy and kindness and love, Father, that we feel here this morning through the power of your Spirit, Lord, indwelling our hearts in this place, God. We pray, Father, for Brother Paul as he brings the message. Thank you for him. Thank you, God, for how you've used him, Lord, to help and to strengthen this church, Father, in these last few months. And God, be with him as he brings the word of God. Bless these, Father, who can't be here and that are sick and that are ill. God, we pray for your grace and healing in their lives. And above everything, Father, we give you praise for Jesus Christ, who loved us and died and was buried and rose from the grave, that we may be justified through his mercy and grace. For it's in his name we pray this morning. Amen.
Trust the potter's hands. side, and he makes no mistakes. Though it seems I'll crumble down and I can hardly stand the pain, but into his own
John and Pam. It's good to see you this morning. I wonder how many of you today would tell me that you were saved during vacation Bible school. Would you raise your hand? And all over the building, several of you were saved during vacation Bible school. And that's the importance of it. Spurgeon says children need to be saved, children ought to be saved, and children ought to be saved while they're still children. And we want to pray for you, especially in just a few moments. I'll have the Vacation Bible School workers to stand, and we're going to have a special prayer just before I begin the message this morning, praying for you. I'm glad that you've made it a big deal in your church. Vacation Bible School is a big deal. Look at your neighbor right now and say, VBS is a big deal. It is a big deal. And before I pray for you, I'll tell you a story about Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School was getting ready. One of the teachers was very nervous about teaching a class. She'd never taught a class of youngsters like that before, Angie, and so she got her class together. She thought, well, I'll just introduce this thing by creating some interest. I'll describe for them something and then get them to tell me exactly what it is. And so she began the process of saying, I'm thinking of something, boys and girls. I wonder if you could tell me what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking of something that has a bushy tail and has two long front teeth and climbs trees and eats nuts. Can anybody tell me what I'm thinking about? Can anybody give me the answer? One little boy went up and said, teacher, I know what the answer is. Says, the answer is Jesus, but it sure sounds like a squirrel to me. Amen, that's it. So in this Vacation Bible School this year, the answer is, of course, is what, class? Is Jesus, and that's the answer. So now, before I begin my message this morning, if you're working in Vacation Bible School at Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church this year, would you please stand right now so I can have and remain standing, and let me pray for you especially, that God would especially bless you and anoint you for the job that he's called you to do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for all these workers, and we're looking forward to the good reports after Vacation Bible School is finished this week. And I pray, Lord, that we could have youngsters that would say yes to Jesus, because the answer is Jesus. He's the answer to all of life's issues. Got to get that right before everything else is right. So I pray now your special blessings upon these VBS workers. We pray especially in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You might be seated this morning. And by the way, speaking of Brother Stewart, and you know, he and I have a history. We did time together. We served time together. And but anyway, he celebrates, and Claire Lee, I got to mention Claire Lee because really she is the one that made that whole thing work. You understand that? She was behind the scenes, but without Claire Lee, it did not work. They'll be married 66 years this month. How about that? That is big. That's big stuff. All right, yeah, give them a round of applause. I'm going to share with you something. I'm going to do something this morning I don't often do. And that is I'm going to repeat a topic. I'm going to repeat a sermon, almost the same sermon, not exactly the same sermon. I spent as much time preparing this as I did the last one. And so I've spent some time in the kitchen this week. If you don't spend time in the kitchen during the week, you can't serve bread on Sunday. Amen? And so I've spent some time in the kitchen. And but nevertheless, it was a sermon that I preached on Mother's Day evening, a subject that I preached on Mother's Day evening. And I'm going to kind of repeat that theme just a little bit. You say, why are you going to repeat the theme? For two reasons. Number one, you were not here. Go ahead, you might as well admit it, you weren't here. Number two, I had some very prominent people, including in my own family, that said, Brother Paul, you need to repeat that message when everybody is here. And I promised them that I would. And how many of you believe that integrity is important in ministry? Amen? And so it's, you know, there's character and there's chemistry and there's competence. You're getting ready to call a new pastor. There's character, chemistry, and competence. Number one of all the, number one of importance, that of course is character. And so keeping your word. And so in keeping my word, I'm going to repeat that topic for you today. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the first passage of Scripture that I want to share with you, and it's 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. And in honor of the reading of God's holy, inerrant, inspired, living Word, would you please stand with me this morning as we read these passages of Scripture. And what I want you to do, I want you to work with me just a little bit, because I want you to look in these passages of Scripture for God's pattern for refreshment. God's pattern for refreshing. I believe that you're in the process of experiencing a refreshing at Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church. You're not the same church that you were when I came and tried to help you out a little bit early in January and December. You're not the same church. There's a change. You're processing through. And you're beginning to process through the five renewals that I'm going to be sharing with you in just a few moments, of a refreshed church. And I want you to work with me as we kind of go through that so you can begin the process of circling, pinpointing exactly where you think we are in the process today. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, very familiar passage. God says, if we'll do four things, he'll do three things. Notice he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways. And says, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now notice the pattern that God is setting. Now look at 1 Kings chapter 8. Now I say 1 Kings. By the way, the bulletin says 2 Kings, but the secretary got that wrong. Wasn't her fault. It was my fault. And it was a typo. I sent the outline by email, and I put in 2 Kings instead of putting in 1 Kings. And that is the first mistake I made all week. Now notice what it says here. 1 Kings chapter 8, beginning verse 33. When your people Israel are defeated before an enemy. Solomon is praying this, by the way, in a prayer of dedication, because he understands something about God's pattern for refreshing. Now notice you're not on ministry with God, but now what God can do in a time of refreshing, he takes you and places you back on ministry with himself. It says, when your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and confess your name and pray and make supplication to you in this temple, then hear in the heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land for which you gave them, gave to your fathers. And so you begin the process of seeing the pattern that God sets forth in His Word. You say, well, that's Old Testament. Is there anything in the New Testament? Yes, there is. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, which says this. You can follow along on the screen. If you turn there in your Bibles, that would be good too. Notice what he says. It says, repent. Now, by the way, when I preach this on a Sunday evening during Mother's Day, I use God's Word translation. And I wanted to share that with the folks because I love children. It's a good translation to use with children because it's very literal, it's very accurate, but it's also very easy to understand. And they don't use theological terms, they interpret them. And so for the word repent, basically what they say is change the way you think and change the way you act. Does anybody know anybody in Baptist life that needs to change the way they think and change the way they act? I know a whole lot of folks like that. So repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of what, class? Refreshing. Times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And so this is what we're seeking. We're seeking a time when God manifests Himself in our presence, and we experience that time of refreshing. And so today, I pray that God will add His blessings to the reading and hearing of His holy word. So you might be seated this morning as we begin. So I begin today by sharing with you the patterns that I find in Scripture as it relates to God refreshing His people. And I begin with pattern number one. And by the way, I hope that some of you will jot this down. Jot these down. Hold on to these and refer to these often. Number one, God saves a people. I thought about the people at Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church. I thought about how this church was established over 60 years ago and how it became a body here. There was a tent revival that took place. At least that's the story that I've been told. And God saved a people. And then what does God do with the saved people? He places them on mission. Why does God place them on mission? So that He can exalt His Son, Jesus. Remember, the answer is, class? Answer is Jesus. So that He might exalt His Son through them. So that the Lord Jesus might be exalted as God seeks to save that which is lost. God's mission is always a redemptive mission. So it's important. So God's plan is to work through the local church. I believe that God's going to do anything special in the world, it'll be through His local church. The importance of the local church, it's very, very important. And so His plan is to work through the church so that there might be a spiritual awakening among those that do not know Him in Ashland, Kentucky, North America, and the world. That God might work through His local church in order that people in this community that don't know Him could come to a place where they would know Him. Because God's mission is always a redemptive one. God said this, He said, for the Son of Man has come to save that which is what, class? Lost. That's God's mission. God is a missionary. You need to be a missionary. The Bible says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent His Son with a redemptive purpose in mind. The Bible says, for God didn't, Jesus speaking first person, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be what? Might be saved. The Bible says, I've come that they might have life. In other words, God's mission is redemptive. Not to judge the world, but to save the world, according to John chapter 12, verse 37. And so God has a mission, and His mission is redemptive, and He chooses to work through the local church so that His Son might be exalted in the community. That His Son might be lifted up in the world that is around them. So you have a mission, and your mission is to go and tell others about Jesus. And that's your mission. But then not only God saves them and God places them on mission, but here's what God's people do. I used to say, here's what God's people sometimes do. No, I've changed that because I've been in enough Baptist churches now. Here's what they always do. Here's what they just almost always do. Over a period of time, they depart from the mission. I'm beginning to understand preachers like Brother Stewart, who used to say, have two revivals every year. And you know why? We need them. because, you know, we get off track. And we need to be called back to mission, to be on mission with Him. And so we depart from the mission. How do we do it? By offering substitutes to the plan. God has a plan. What's His plan? Is to go and tell. And what we usually say is, God, you know, that sounds like a pretty good plan, but you don't realize I work 40 hours a week. And I've got three kids, and they play soccer and they play baseball. And my wife, you know, she's got a lot of honeydew jobs around the house I've got to do. And so, you know, I really don't have time to go and tell, but I can tell you, I can come at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And so what I will do, I will attend. And so what we end up doing is we substitute the plan. And so we take the word go and tell, and we substitute with I'll come and sit. I'll sit in the pews. I will attend. I'm not necessarily going to be a part of going and telling. And so not only do we do that, but then we begin the process of using the world's methods in order that we might be able to do the Lord's work. You know, God says go and tell. We say, here's what we say, you know, I like come and see better. I like come and see. Rather than go and tell, I think come and see kind of works out just a little bit better. And so what we try to do is we try to go into the entertainment business. You ever know any churches try to do that? And I know quite a few churches that do that. And so they try to entertain. What happens is it becomes all about the person that's sitting in the pew. It becomes about me. It becomes a me church kind of mentality. The music is about me, and the preaching is about me, and the service is all about me. It doesn't have anything to do. But listen, folks, did you know that we've come here in order that we might be able to worship before an audience of one? You see, we say it's about me, but God says, no, it's not about you, but it's about Him. And so we kind of do this, and we go in the entertainment business. I had one music evangelist say in a tweet, or it was either a tweet or maybe on Facebook or something, he said that he had a gig. Now, I've heard that statement used many, many times, that a gig, and I thought it was a made-up word. I didn't know that it actually existed, but it's a word that actually exists. And so I got in the dictionary, and I looked it up, and what it means is to jazz it up for a night. And so when you have a gig, then I suppose that what they're trying to do is they're trying to jazz it up just a little bit. And we have a lot of that going on in our churches. In a lot of churches, and so that becomes the goal. We jazz it up. Why? We try to entertain you when you come and sit in the pews. We want you to feel good. We say things like this when the kids come out of Sunday school, and what we say is, did you have a good time today? Did you have a real good time? And what do we say to people when they leave the services? Did you enjoy yourself today? Like, that was the goal. Like, the goal was for the kids to have a good time and the adults to enjoy themselves. When we did the Revive the Hope campaign out of Boyd County High School. And the music evangelist is really, we love him. He's a great guy at Oakland Avenue Baptist Church. He's from Portugal. And he speaks Portuguese, meaning that he has an accent. He doesn't always get all the English words right. And so when we were doing Revive the Hope, he interpreted it as Revive the Hype. And so And nobody told him. I mean, he went around for weeks just saying, you know, we're going to have the Revive the Hype campaign. Nobody said anything to him. And finally, he realized that there was a joke, and it was on him. And so, Revive the Hype. And sometimes that's what we try to do. I'm not against reviving the hype a little bit. Don't get me wrong. I think we ought to have exciting services. But I think that'll be Spirit-filled services. And services that honor God. And so, but oftentimes we begin the process of using the world's methods in order that we might be able to do the Lord's work, and we try to revive the hype so that we can become the first church of adrenaline. And we kind of confuse that with being moved by the Holy Spirit of God. And so we find that God has a mission. We depart from that mission. But then in the process of departing from the mission, here's what we don't like. God disciplines His people. Now, we don't often like that. I don't like to go to the woodshed. How many of you old enough know what a woodshed is, okay? Four of you, okay? You know that, what that is? No, a whole lot more than that. We don't like discipline. We don't like training. But nevertheless, God says that he disciplines or trains how many of his children, class? All of them. Why does he do it? He does it because he loves them. He doesn't do it because he hates them, but he does it because he loves them. The Bible says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens everyone. He corrects them. He trains them. What is God trying to do when he disciplines his people? He's trying to bring them back into a right relationship with himself. That's what God is doing. And when a church refuses the discipline of God, what does God do? God intensifies that discipline. He intensifies it until the church begins the process of step number 4, and that is they begin the process of crying out to God, oh God, this discipline is so heavy and it's so hard, what we seem to be going through. And so they begin the process of crying out to God. By the way, that is exactly where I like to find a church as I'm working with them as a church, KBC church consultant. I don't like to, you know, I can't help a church that's at the top of their game. I can really help a church that's reached the bottom and they know that they're at the bottom. That's where we can actually help a church. And they begin the process of crying out to God, and they're crying for relief. None of us like discipline. It reminds me of the little boy that was sitting in the pew with his mother. And she'd given those one, that's once young man, that's twice young man. Third time, you know, is a charm. And so she says to him, this is the third time, son, and now you are going to get it. She loads him on her shoulder, and she begins to walk out of the church services. Her back is to the congregation. His face is back to the congregation. And as he's going out the door, he looks back at the church and he says, you guys pray for me. Amen. Nobody likes discipline. Nobody likes to be corrected, but nevertheless, God does it. Now, God's long-suffering with us. He's the father of the prodigal in Luke's Gospel chapter 15. And you know the story very well. The prodigal cried out. He'd reached the bottom of his barrel, and the bottom of the barrel is not a bad place to be. The bottom of the barrel can be a good place to be if you'll just simply look up. And so he cries out, and he says this. He says, I will arise and go to my father. Good choice. And I will say to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And he arose and he came to the father. But while he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now here's what I found out. Believers and churches can depart from God. But listen, they're never out of the sight of God. God always has them in his sight. God always has them in his vision. And so we see God's people begin the process of crying out. Now, it brings them to a crisis of belief that requires, Henry Blackaby says, faith in action. Remember experiencing God? Now they have a choice to make. What's the choice that they have to make? Repent or perish. You say, wait a minute, I've got eternal life. I'll never perish. I'm a Christian. Yeah, you have eternal security as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but your church don't. Your church can go out of business. Now, I could talk about some churches that I know that's gone out of business. I could share those with you this morning, but I'm not going to do that. But you know, and I know, that churches can actually go out of business. But here's what God says when they begin the process of crying out, and you realize that you're at the bottom of the barrel. Here's what God says, return to me, and I will return to you. That's bottom line. You return to me, and then I will, in fact, return to you. You say, will God tell us exactly what we're to do? Absolutely. You'll know exactly what to do. Why? Because God's the perfect father. And a perfect father will never discipline his children unless they know exactly why they're being disciplined. God will take the plumb line of his word and he'll drop it right down in the middle of that group of people, and they'll know exactly what God would have them to do. And so God says, there's an opportunity here. Repent. Exactly what Luke writes in the book of Acts when he says, repent, change the way you think and change the way you act, therefore, and be converted. In other words, you turn from something, and that's sin and self, and you turn to someone, and that someone is the Savior. And you put your confidence in him. You turn back to God. He says, repent, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I'm longing for that. You know, I'm years of age now, and I'm looking, I would like to see one great revival. I'd like to be a part of one before the Lord calls me home. So far, I've not been in one of those. We've got to the verge of experiencing that at different times in my ministry, but we've never quite got there. I'd like to get there at least one time. And so when I think about this, change the way you act, change the way you think, so that the times of refreshing can come. This is a message of hope for every single congregation. And so listen, there's hope for your church, Gary McIntosh says. I'll repeat it. There's hope for your church. You can experience a time of refreshing. All you have to do is be willing to take a new way to take on a new way of thinking and a new way of acting, and there's hope for the church. Here's what God told Ephesus. He said this, said, remember therefore from where you've fallen. In other words, go back. Remember what it was like. Go all the way back to those days of Brother Stewart. Remember what we were doing then? Remember what we were experiencing then, Smokey? We need to go back. We need to go back. We need to go find ourselves back there. And so the Bible says, remember where you have fallen, he says to the church of Ephesus, and repent. Change the way you act, change the way you think, and do the first work. Get back to what you were doing. Remember when God was blessing. And then he said, or else I'll come quickly, and I will remove your lampstand from its place. What's a lampstand? It's your witness in the community. God says, listen, if you don't change the way you act, change the way you think, I will take your lampstand, your witness in the community, I'll take it away. I'll extinguish the fire, and the candle will go out. But now here's the good news. When God's people repent, then God revives the church. He revives the hope. He revives a repentant people. Why? How does he do that? By restoring them to a right relationship with him. When God's people repent, changes the way they act, change the way they think, here's what God does. He cleanses them, forgives them, restores them, and he puts in them a heart of joy, which we'll say a lot about tonight in the book of James. You need to understand what it means to have a joy-filled Christian life. We'll talk about that tonight in this adult VBS that we're doing in here. And then God sends revival amidst his people. And so that's God's pattern for refreshing. But then there's five renewals of a revitalized church. This is where I want you to be. I want you to be a revitalized church. And I'm sensing some of that now. I'm sensing some of that now. And so as we begin the process of experiencing revitalization, then what I'm asking is, let's don't get in the way. Let's be careful we don't mess it up. If God's in the process of reviving us, let's listen very closely to what he'd have us to do, especially in these days. Five renewals for a revitalized church. Number one, there's personal renewal. What's that all about? It means I look forward to going to church again. It means I really enjoy my time in the Word again. It means I'm spending time in prayer again. And there's this personal renewal. I've got a little extra spit in my step and a sparkle in my eye. I'm just happy to be a child of God again. I can't wait for my Sunday school class to start on Sunday morning. I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. By the way, when a church is not revitalized, you have to go. You know, you just have to go. It's like one lady, her husband said, you know, I'm not going to go down there to that old church. Said, I don't like those people, and they don't like me, and I'm not going to go. She said, you got to go. Said, why do I have to go? He says, you got to go because you're the pastor, and you got to go. But listen, you know, when I think about church, I don't have to go. I get to go. What a privilege it is to be here this morning at Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church. The place we call our home church. So there's personal renewal. Where does it start? It starts one place. You say, where's that? It's in the leadership. It's in the leadership of your church. Here's an important statement for you, body of Christ. You will never rise higher than your leadership. So deacons, it's important for you to understand this. You can't expect the church to rise higher than you're willing to go.
Staff, it's important for you to realize this. Your congregation will not rise higher than you're willing to go spiritually. But also, you're getting ready to call a pastor, and his spiritual life is very important to you. Why is it important to you? You'll not rise past that. Whatever he is spiritually, you're not going to go past that. And so it's very important for our leaders to understand that. Leaders, you don't want their congregations to change the way they act, change the way they think. Then the first thing leaders need to do is change the way they act and change the way they think. How should I change the way I act, change the way I think? The church cannot be about me. The church is always about others. Did you not know that we established this church here on Winslow Road in order that it might be for people that are not even members of the church? Do you realize that we established this place so that people that didn't know Jesus, were not a member of Rose Hill Baptist Church, that this would be something for them? Because it's not a focus about us, but our focus is upon them. The Christian life is not a self-centered life. So you got to get over yourself. And that's one of the characteristics. We live in a narcissistic culture that's all about us. But we can't bring that into the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is not about me. It's about others. It's about Jesus. It's about others. Why do churches fall? They fall because it all becomes about me. When it all becomes about me, what happens is I get focused on what's on the inside of the four walls of the church. And so I'm not focused on a community that's beyond me. And so I begin to look around and I say, you know what? There's Angie sitting over there. Let me see. Boy, she's got some faults, doesn't she? There's John sitting down there. Think about all the faults that guy's got. And I begin the process of being critical. And I think that my job has become to straighten out everybody that's at Rose Hill. That's my job now. No, that's not your job. Your job is to be outwardly focused. Your job is to be focused on a community that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's to be it. And so there's personal renewal. You begin the process of understanding what this is all about once again. But then not only that, there's relational renewal. You say, what do you mean? Well, you know, it's easy to get folks to say, okay, I want to get my relationship vertically with God right. I want to make sure that that is right. But at the same time, things horizontally are not right. But did you not know that this can never be right until this is right? And so in a revitalized church, what do? We begin the process of getting relationships straightened out with one another. In Baptist churches, as we kind of go along, things happen, don't they? I was talking to Bobby Moore, who's preached many a revival in this church. Bobby and I became good friends. And I had Bobby when I was president of the pastor's conference. For the Kentucky Baptist Convention, I had Bobby to come and speak. And when Bobby got there, he said, come on, we're going to the prayer room. And I said, where's the prayer room? He said, I don't know, we'll find it. We went to the prayer room, we got on our knees, we began to pray for Baptist churches. And I said, Bobby, why is it that 770,000 Kentucky Baptists and 2,200 Kentucky Baptist churches cannot reach Kentucky for Christ Jesus? Why is there still 6 out of 10 people that don't have a relationship with God that's real and personal? And Bobby Moore said to me, here's the reason. He said, because of unforgiveness in the church. He said, we've done so much. There's so many things that's happened, and we've had this little rift and that little rift, and we got members that are sitting there like this every Sunday. They're mad with each other. They don't have the right kind of focus. But in a revitalized church, not only do you get this right, but you get this right. You begin to work out those relationships one with each other in a revitalized church. So there's relational renewal. But then there's missional renewal. What's this have to do? It has to do with our purpose. It means the kingdom of God is going to be expanded. I'm getting ready to go to the SBC next week. Why am I going to go to the SBC? Am I going to go there just to have a good time? No. I'm interested in the SBC for one reason. That's the way we do missions. We do missions through cooperative giving and cooperation. We took up an offering this morning. I guess Rose Hill, we still give a percentage through the cooperative program of the Kentucky Baptist Convention. You send, is it 10%, John? 7%. 7% of everything you gave this morning will go to the Kentucky Baptist Convention. We'll keep half of it to do missions in Kentucky, and half of it goes on to do missions throughout the whole world so that the same gospel is preached throughout the whole world that's been preached here this morning. And you're picking up the tab. You're paying the bill. And so we think about this thing of this missional renewal and using these tools in order that we might be able to reach the kingdom or be able to expand the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem," and listen to this conjunction, "and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Notice he didn't say or he didn't say then. He didn't say Jerusalem and then Judea and then Samaria and then the end of the earth. No, he said and. What's he talking about? Simultaneously. Simultaneously, while we're reaching people here, we support others to reach people there. And we're reaching people all around the globe at the same time. By the way, if someone asks you, how many people did you baptize last year? Tell them you baptized 350,000 folks. That's what we did collectively together last year. 46,000 churches collectively. And so we began the process of experiencing a missional renewal. My wife's going to teach five-year-olds in vacation Bible school. And one of the things, and Angie's going to, she's going to do exactly the same thing. We've got coloring sheets that illustrate the cooperative program and what it means to be a missionary, what it means to be a Kentucky Baptist, what it means to be a child of God that attends a Baptist church. So there's missional renewal, and then number four, there's structural renewal. What does that mean? It means the church begins to grow. Now, let me tell you how bad we are right here. 70% of our Kentucky Baptist churches are either on the decline or the recline. Most of them are on the recline. And what we're looking forward to doing, only 30% of our churches could be described as on the incline. And so when there's renewal, when there's a fresh awakening in the church, it just simply means that the church then begins the process of growing. We move to a place of recline, decline, until we're on the incline and we learn how to get bigger. You say, how can we get bigger? Let me tell you exactly how you can get bigger. It's a very simple thing, and I learned this from your pastor of years ago, Charles E. Stewart. You know how you get bigger? You get bigger by growing smaller. You say, how do you grow smaller? You do it through small group Bible study. I'm just giving you a hint how to grow your church. How to get bigger. We call it, what do we call it? Sunday school. Everybody say that with me. Sunday school. Is it important? It's vitally important. Sunday school is vital. Then not only is there a missional renewal and structural renewal, but then there's a cultural renewal. What does this mean? It means you begin the process of impacting your community. Once again, you became a player in the community. Now, here's the goal, folks, and you might want to jot this down. This comes from Tom Rainer. As Lynn Parrish used to say, my Sunday school director up at First Pikeville, he called him Thom Rainier because his name is spelled Thomrainer. And so he called him Thom Rainier. I guess it looks like that's the way you pronounce it, but it's Tom Rainer. Here's what he says in Transformational Church, that people become more like Jesus. The church becomes more like the body of Christ, and the community becomes more like the kingdom of God. Why would the community become more like the kingdom of God? Is because you're beginning to make an impact once again on the community. You need to ask yourself this question. It's a very important question. Why? Because you need to reach this community for Christ Jesus. And the question you need to ask yourself and answer is, if Rose Hill Baptist Church were to disappear tomorrow, would we be missed? Would the community miss us? Have we made an impact on the world that's around us? Listen, we've been called to make a difference. Jerry Falwell used to say this, use every available means to reach every available person at every available time. Where was he talking about? In the community. He knocked on 100 doors every single day in order they might be able to build the Thomas Road Baptist Church. But I believe that's a good philosophy. He said, use the culture in order that you might be able to win the culture. That's not Falwell, that's Elmer Towns. use the culture in order that you might be able to win the culture. You need to understand the culture of Eastern Kentucky. You need to understand the culture of Ashland, Kentucky. You need to understand the culture of Boyd County if you're going to be able to reach them for Christ Jesus. And you have that responsibility before God. And so the conclusion would just simply be this. What are you doing that would help bring revitalization in this church? In your personal life, what are you doing that would help bring revitalization in this church? Ask yourself this question. Am I part of the problem or am I part of the cure? Do I represent a solution or am I an issue? So what are you doing to help bring about revitalization? Then, next question, what would Rose Hill Baptist Church be if every member followed the same pattern of church membership that I have? What would it be like if every member was exactly like me? Now, for some folks, as I look around, this would be a glorious church. Some of the greatest Christians that I know are members of Rose Hill Baptist Church. But for others, not so glorious. But then what needs to change for us at Rose Hill to have a church that's on the incline and no longer on the decline? If I'm to change the way that I think and if I'm to change the way that I act, then what is it that needs to change for us to be able to experience a revitalization in this church? Now I'm going to share with you something from David Jeremiah. David Jeremiah says this, we need to do three things according to David Jeremiah. He says, number one, we need to humbly look up before looking outward. We need to humbly look up before looking outward. In other words, we don't need to blame other people for the predicament. We don't need to try to point fingers. What we need to do is humbly look within ourselves. And that means that he's calling us to prayer. Then second thing David Jeremiah says, he says, we need to bow down, kneel down before we stand up. He said, every revival began with prayer. That's the reason that I asked you when I first came here back in December, helping you from time to time. I have been here every Sunday. Called Paul Chitwood and tell him he hadn't been here every Sunday. He's just been here enough to kind of keep us going. But that's the reason I gave you the 40-day prayer guide. I wanted you to learn to kneel down. You have to kneel down before you stand up. Good start, but that's not exactly where I want you to be. I want you to be face down. I want you to get before God, and I want you to plead with God, oh God, give us Ashland or I think we'll die. Give us the county that we live in or I think that we will absolutely die. You kneel down before you stand up. And then lastly, you seek God before you seek solutions. You seek God before you seek solutions. You say, what would that look like, preacher? I'll tell you what it looked like to me. It looked like, for me, a whole bunch of people that's praying in the church and asking God to give us a revitalized church.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood.